Well, good morning, everyone. Hello, I'm seeing some waves, so feel free to wave to each other. It's nice to see you. Hello. Scrolling through to check in. It's good to see you guys this morning. Hello. Marco's going to keep you guys muted if for some reason you unmuted, but there will be time for interaction, probably more time than we normally have for interaction this morning. And so I'm looking forward not only to seeing you, but interacting with you as well. So it's going to be another good day because we're getting together to worship the Lord together in this unusual time and unusual format where he is still God and still in control. And sometimes as we are losing some of our control, we're being reminded of that. And that is probably a very good and healthy thing for us, even when it doesn't feel like it. So let me give you the snapshot of the order of service, what it looks like this morning. We're going to start off with a couple of readings for us. We're then going to move into one of our songs and we will sing together. You'll remain muted. So we won't be hearing each other sing, but we will hear the music and we'll be worshiping God with that. We're then going to move into a time of congregational prayer. We were supposed to have a children's moment this morning, and at the very last minute, we weren't able to have that anymore. Kristen is feeling quite unwell. It's not COVID related. Do not worry. She's got some physical pains going on. So we're going to pray for her this morning instead, and we'll have to have our kids' moment later on next week instead. Then we'll have our time for reflection over the scriptures. We're in the book of Joel these days, and you can feel free to grab your Bibles and find Joel. And we'll be looking at a very important passage, one that we're going to spend actually a couple of weeks talking about because it affects us in so many good and interesting and life-giving ways. So we're going to do that. We will, during that time, we're going to have some time to interact with each other. So we'll break off into discussion groups. And then later on during that time, we're also going to have some time just to have some Q&A, questions, comments, that kind of thing. After that, we will sing another song together, continue worshiping in song. And then we will have some updates for just things happening around the congregation and in our life and so on. And then we will close. And at the end of this, we will move into a social time where anyone who would like to stick around and mingle, and just like you would live on a Sunday morning, we're going to do that via Zoom. And we'll get you the details on that toward the end of this. As always, let me just remind us that this whole thing is worship. You're here to give God your attention, to give God your time. You're here to learn from him and hear him, and he is blessed by that and honors that attitude in you and the way that you respond to him and calls that worship. So let's worship together this morning. We're going to start with God's greeting and our call to worship. This is God's greeting to you this morning. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim to greet people with good news, proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. May this be the way that God greets you this morning as you come to him. Let's go into our call to worship. We are going to use the Apostles' Creed this morning as our call to worship. So let's say it together. You can read along in the comfort of your own living space. And I saw one or two of you outside enjoying that. And we can worship God wherever we are. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'll now turn it over to Marco, and he's going to fire up our first song that we're going to worship God together with.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening dawns. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy.
Thanks for that, Marco. We're now going to turn it over to Lisa Friesen, who is going to offer our congregational prayer. Just before I do that, I'm not sure if I was able to get through to Lisa in time or not this morning, but I got word from Lori Brooks this morning that her niece, Shauna, who has been struggling with cancer for some time, passed away from that. And so we need to be remembering the Brooks family and Shauna's family, her husband and her kids, and their own families as well, as we go into prayer together this morning. So with that, I'll turn it over to Lisa, and she'll offer our congregational prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we have so much to be thankful for. We thank you for the gift of a long weekend, and we thank you for the gift of sunshine. And during this unprecedented time, it's important for us to remember that through the struggles, that you are still the God who provides for us. And we thank you for your provision, that just as you provided for the Israelites and their daily needs in the desert, that as we walk through this time, that's really challenging, that you are providing for us, probably in sometimes in ways that we don't even always recognize. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the gift of extra time with family, even though it doesn't always feel like a gift. And we come to you, God, and we just ask you to help us because we are weak and we are sinful. And sometimes our response to what's happening around us is not always a reflection of you. And so we ask you to forgive us for that. And we ask you to give us the strength that we need to be kind and to be compassionate. We ask you to give us wisdom to know how to respond in these difficult times. We ask you to give us the fruits of your spirit, love, patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. And we ask for an extra dose of those things as we walk through this challenging time together. Lord, there are people in our congregation and people who are connected to those in our congregation that are walking through an especially difficult time, Lord. And so we pray that you would bring them your peace and that you would give them your strength and you would bring them your comfort. We think of Lori Brooks and her family and the pain that they are feeling at the loss of their family member. We pray for her niece, Shauna, her family, her husband and her son and her daughter, who are experiencing the deepest kind of pain right now, Lord. And so we pray that you would reveal yourself to them during that really difficult time. And we pray for everyone who knew Shauna personally, who was connected to her. We pray that through this time that you would be honored and glorified, that perhaps some will come to know you who maybe didn't before, or that they can come to know you if they did know you before in a way that is more meaningful to them and that makes you more real. We also continue to lift up the Plett family and the Cartwright family as they continue to walk through their particular challenges. Lord, I pray that you would hold them in your arms, and then you would give them strength and you would hold them up and help them through this difficulty. And we also want to lift up Kristen to you, Lord. She's not feeling well and you know what's going on. And so we pray that you would heal her and that you would help her out during this challenging time. And God, as we prepare to listen to Ben's message for us today, and to reflect on what it is that that he has to share with us, I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to hear those words, and that just as many of us are at this time tending to our gardens outside and our flower beds and watching new things grow, we know that in order for that to happen, that takes preparation. The soil needs to be fertile. We need to break it up and we need to work that ground. And so in that same way, may we consider our hearts to be like that. as well, that we would do that work to break up the hardness inside, that we would be ready to receive what is going to be sown, and that you would provide the rest to help us to grow. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lisa. As I mentioned before, you can grab your Bibles and go to the book of Joel. Use the table of contents to find it, because it's only got three chapters, so it's not easy to find there in the Old Testament. But we have been in the book of Joel for a number of weeks, and it's been, I have found this to be a very rich and very applicable book during this time. And I've been really blessed by it. And I hope that that has to some degree spilled over for you as well, as you have been here reflecting with us and as you have been hopefully digesting it in your own quiet times with God. So I have a question for you. If God came to you and had a gift for you, what is it that comes to mind? What does your heart hope for? If God just came to you in that Solomon-like experience and said, I have this blank check for you, what are you most hoping that God gives? God's going to come to Joel's people, the people that the prophet Joel has been ministering to, and he is about to give them a better gift than they have ever received. And they have been going through really difficult times. As we've been talking about, we've described it as these people between a rock and a hard place, between a whole bunch of locust plagues that swept through, possibly for multiple harvests, seasons of growing, and just decimated their crops, which then affects their food supply and it affects their economy. Ultimately, they're struggling. And having just passed through that season of just being hit so hard, they're now between a rock and a hard place, because there's this army coming at them and there's an invasion coming. And then on top of all of it, God says, I sent both of these things to you guys. I need you to return to me. That in a sense, God has been saying, you guys took off your wedding rings. We're supposed to be in covenant together, and you guys took off your wedding rings and you wandered away from me. And in order to save the patient, the only thing that God could do was to perform surgery, which meant using a locust plague or multiple locust plagues, and meant using an army. But in spite of that, God invites these people to return to him. He tells them, come back to me, you know, put these wedding rings back on. And they do. They listen. And the surgery works. They call this solemn assembly together. They come together and they say, we're putting our wedding rings back on. We admit we took them off, but we are here to come back to you. We're putting them back on. And God's overwhelmingly joyful response to them is that he tells them that he is going to restore to them the years that the locusts have eaten. All these years that the crops failed, and their economy was in trouble, and people were starving. He tells them that in his joy, as they return to him, he is going to gift them with the things that they have lost. We talked about last week that it's like the story of the prodigal son, that the prodigal returns, and he doesn't just get his old room back. He doesn't just get the seat at the table back again. He gets a party. That's how grateful, how overflowing with joy the father is when his people come back to him. But Joel goes on. The prophet not only says that God is about to return these things that they have lost to them, but he says, I'm going to give you something better. Now, friends, the greatest gift that God can give is himself. You know, think about it. Think about what God offers us in Scripture. He offers us his presence. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. He's with us. He says he will never leave us or forsake us. Think about the friendship that God offers his people. Jesus tells his disciples, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. It's profound. Think about Jesus when he says to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you his very kingdom," that the King is coming himself. The greatest gift that God can give us is himself. And I'm not so sure we always believe that. You know, as I ask myself that Solomon question, that if God came with a blank check, what would I ask from him? I'm not sure my first response would have been, "Give me more of yourself." But that's where the book of Joel goes. And that's where we're going to go in a little bit. But I have to be honest about where I'm at. And I preach to myself to give you an opportunity to look in your own heart a little bit as well and admit where we're at. So we are going to start by looking at where we're at and then move on to this gift of what God gives us. Here is our discussion question for this morning. Marco, in a minute, is going to break us up into small groups, and we are going to discuss this question first. C.S. Lewis says, "When infinite joy is offered us, we are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." I think he's on to something here as I look in my own life. Right? We prefer sometimes the mud because we don't actually know what God is offering, and we can't imagine. So take some time to discuss this. Why is this? I want you to discuss this quote and brainstorm. Why is it that we find ourselves in this place of being like this ignorant child? We can't imagine. So take some time. Marco's going to break us up into small groups. Make sure you click the button to join the group. And when you click the button to join the group, you should automatically be unmuted, and you guys can start talking with one another. Discuss the quote, and then we'll come back together in a few minutes, and we'll hear from one another what you guys talked about. Enjoy. Okay, welcome back, everyone. It's an interesting quotation, and I would love to take a few minutes to hear from a few of you what's some of the fruit of your discussion, some of the highlights. Feel free to go down to the participants menu and click on it. And there's the ability to raise a hand. And if you raise a hand, then Marco will unmute you. And we'd love to hear from you a little bit of just some of the things that came out in your discussion. Why do you think that we don't choose the joy that God offers us in himself? Oh, I see two hands all of a sudden. Lisa, let's go ahead.
In our room, we were talking about how the more you have and the more comfortable you are, the more difficult it is to walk away from that. And it requires a lot of faith and trust in God that, you know, because you have to let go before you can accept what he has to give to you, that in that moment it requires a great deal of faith and trust that God is going to, that he's going to do what he says he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. That's a wonderfully honest reflection of who we are and where we're often at, and that maybe some of the effects, even that the abundance that we have sometimes gets in the way. Yeah, thanks for that. I see the bunnies raised a hand as well.
Yeah, I was in the same group as Lisa, but just kind of to add to what she was saying, we were talking also about kind of what kinds of things are in the way. Where are we holding on to control? Where are we not submitting to God? Why are we complacent and comfortable where we are at and not willing to kind of let go of those things? So what, again, kind of as Lisa was saying, we have so much, but what exactly is getting in the way of submitting to God versus I surrender all versus I surrender some?
Mm-hmm. That's good. Thank you for that. It's the kid playing with the mud, right? not even really recognizing that it's mud. And we get distracted by things that are less. And I thank you for being honest about that, because that's where we often are. So that's great. Thank you. Lewis makes an interesting observation when he says, we sometimes cannot imagine what is being offered. And I wonder if there's also something to that, that we settle for less because we can't imagine anything else. We've only experienced the mud. You know, what else is there? And what we need is scripture to expand our imaginations for what is possible. If God gives us himself, what would that look like? And we're going to see in Joel that God expands his people's imagination and experience in some very interesting ways, and they aren't restricted to Joel. And we need to be open to the idea that this goes way beyond Joel and could very well be pouring right out into Baptist churches. Now, if I tell you that God wants you to have more of himself, we need Joel to define what it is that looks like, because God has already promised these people blessings, and he has given them. He said that he's restoring to them the years that they've lost. He's restoring some of their income. He's restoring perhaps their economy as well. But God says, he looks at all of that and goes, that's not enough. That's not ultimately what these people need. So here is what these people need. I'm going to share our scripture reading with you. God says, after all of this, I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your elderly will have prophetic dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. What does it look like for God to give us more of himself? Well, it's going to look something like this. This is one of the examples of what it looks like when God gives his people more of himself. And we need this. In our pandemic, I'm not sure we're asking for enough during these unprecedented times, right? I don't think we're actually asking for enough of Joel. I think we'd be perfectly happy to stop at restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. If we got that, if oil went back up higher than it's been in years, I think most of us would think that everything is great and back to normal and back the way that we want it to be. And that would be the gift we were actually asking God for. But maybe that shows that we haven't really returned to him the way that we should be, the way that Joel's people did. Maybe our hearts are still wandering if that's what we want. Maybe we might still need the surgery. The greatest gift that God can give us is himself, because that's the climax of Joel. The climax isn't that God blesses this people with rescue from locusts and rescue from the army and restoring what they've lost. The climax is what comes after that, that God pours out himself on his people. The greatest gift that God can give us is himself. And what does it look like in Joel? What does it look like when God pours himself out on his people? It looks like things change. When God gives us himself, things change, and he changes people in a whole bunch of different ways that are completely unexpected and impossible without him. And I read one person this week who gave other examples, so let me share that with you. What does it look like when the Spirit comes on people and they change? He says, this is David Allen Hubbard, and he says, the same Spirit that moved at creation to bring order from chaos, the same Spirit that empowered Samson to kill a lion with his bare hands, the same Spirit that endowed Bezalel with skill and perception and knowledge for every kind of craft was to be at work among God's people. What's it going to look like? it's going to look like a whole bunch of different things for a whole bunch of different people, depending on what it is that God wants to do with those people as he comes on them. Sometimes it's going to be visions. Sometimes it's going to be stuff like this. And we need scripture to be reminding us of all of the different possibilities. What does it look like when God comes on people and gives them himself? People change. The Spirit brings creation. He brings strength to Samson. He gives skill to a tradesman, creativity, artistry. He gives prophecy in Joel to a slave. It's poured out on everyone, the kids, not just the elderly, not just the people with degrees on their wall. Everyone gets it. And it's not about the gifts. It's about God's presence being among his people and using them to accomplish what it is that he wants to accomplish in that time and in that place. What does God want to and need to, and is what is he hoping to accomplish among God's people during a pandemic? Well, maybe it's going to start with putting the wedding rings back on and then asking God to pour himself out. Do you want to be missional? Do you love social justice? Do you have a heart that yearns for your friends to meet Jesus? You want those things to happen? Ask God to give you more of himself, because when the Spirit shows up, people change. So what do you think? Why don't we just open this up for some interaction? Feel free to ask a question. Feel free to share a comment. I'll just once again go down to the participants button, raise a hand. I would love to hear from you. It doesn't have to be a question. Sometimes I just say questions only, but this is questions, comments. What is it that comes to mind that you would like to share? I see Bev's hand.
Good morning.
Bev.
My first response, Ben, is all of that sounds really scary. And we talked a little bit about the fear in our group. And so maybe you could comment about how we can fiercely face with courage some of the changes that you're talking about, some of the things that you're talking about.
I love that comment and question, Bev, because I love, once again, how honest it is. And I have been there. I remember the first time that I sat among some Pentecostal friends who were doing things that were outside of my narrow Baptist experience. And I didn't like it. And I was scared. And I get it. And I think we need to remember at the same time that this is the God of compassion and the God of mercy and the God who wants to be our friend, as well as deal with all of the sin issues in our lives. And he somehow holds those things together. And that this is the God who is benevolent and generous. And at the same time, he's God and we want him to be in control. And sometimes, our desires for control, our desires to remain safe and comfortable, we actually put that up as a barrier between God. And I think God respects that. And I think what I'm fearing a little bit more is that we may put up those barriers and that God end up respecting the barriers that we put up and therefore limiting himself. And so I think it's scary on both sides. And so let's trust God. Let's ask him to work and let's trust that he do what it is that he wants to do, because he's someone who can be trusted, even though it's scary. Thanks, Bev. I appreciate that comment. That's wonderful. Were there others? Questions, comments? I'm scrolling across the side here. Lynette.
Yeah, hi. Just kind of a thought struck me when you were talking about barriers. I think it's possible that we have barriers that we're not even aware of. We've had those barriers up for so long that we've become used to them. They're normal, and we're not even aware that they're still there, that they exist. So with God respecting our barriers, I guess we're going to have to ask him to help us know what the barriers are and help us tear them down. And that's scary too.
But that is such an insightful comment, Lynette. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, when Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked, we need to remind ourselves that that means that we deceive ourselves. That we, as I say regularly around here, I'm blind to my blind spots, right? That by definition, that we, and we, there's a self-protective thing within us that, that says, I'm scared. And I actually don't want to go there in my mind. We actually really like denial at times. And therefore, it may be safer and more comfortable if I put my head in the sand a little bit and don't try to deal with some of those barriers, because it's going to be uncomfortable. And I think you're right. And at the same time, Joel is calling us and saying, don't wander. Because the consequences of wandering might be surgery. And that's also scary, right? We are beset by fears. And I am someone who is, as I've shared before, naturally anxious. And so I appreciate the fact that we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there with God, because he might do things that are outside of our control, and we prefer control because that's more safe. And we don't want to go there with ourselves and find out that we are actually a worse version of ourselves than we already thought. And we, in the end, still need to entrust ourselves to the God who wants to remake us into the image of his son, and that he can be trusted to wield the scalpel well when needed, but then also to bring all of the healing that we need as well. Because Jesus does that all around Galilee and Jerusalem and so on, right? Going around healing people. And he wants to continue healing people. And he does what he does. And he ascends to the Father so that he can send the Spirit. The climax of the story is actually not just the cross. It's that he returns so that he can send the Comforter, so that he can send the person who is remaking us and indwelling us and wants to remake the world. We're going to need to give him that opportunity. And I went from a basic response to your question to like preaching another sermon. Thanks for raising that, Lynette. I see Renee would like to, she's raised her hand. Go ahead, Renee.
Hi, everyone. So good to be back online with you all this week. Yeah, actually, just in response to that, one of the things that's just really been impressed on me during COVID lockdown has been God's desire for all of us to be on our knees before him and just to use the time that we have in prayer and to go to him with those barriers, with those idols. For a lot of us, it's finances. For a lot of us, it's materialism or fear or control. And just to speak to that issue of control, that's been something that he's really been working on me in, and he showed me very plainly a few weeks ago, this is a huge idol for me. Control over our finances, control over our family, control over whatever, my environment, my schedule, my life. And so he's stripping that away. And just to encourage you all, if you're struggling, go to prayer and just meet with Jesus. Get that space with him and get that quiet space with him and be in his presence for a while, because he'll show you why you're struggling and he will meet you there. And it's going to hurt. If you have idols or barriers in your life that you've been holding on to and you don't even know you're doing it, and we all have that. I still have some. I know I still have a lot that he hasn't even touched on yet. And you give those to him and he takes them away. You grieve it, because it's something that you've had for so long, but he replaces it with his presence and with his freedom and with his joy. And it actually feels really weird, but it's great. And so I would just encourage I'm in that process myself, and it's been transformative for me over the last few weeks. And just encourage you guys, seek his presence and seek his face. He will never disappoint. It will be hard, but he is trustworthy with those things. And so when you give them to him, he will take them and replace them with him. And that's the trip to the seaside. That's the awesome vacation that you didn't even know you needed. But during this time, if you're struggling, and there's so many different ways people are suffering right now, maybe this is the avenue he's trying to use to get you to the seaside. So just to add to that, that's been my experience. Anyway.
That's great. Thanks so much, Renee. I would just add an amen to what you have said. I absolutely agree that I think God is in the process of remaking his people right now, and that it's going to involve dealing with some of those barriers, as Joel has been reminding us each week. So the book of Joel, though, if you ask our other prophet, Joel, he'd probably say the same thing. Thank you for your interactions. Very insightful comments. Thank you so much. Perhaps I'm wondering if one of our difficulties in our pandemic is that we're wanting things outside us to change. But what if during this time, God is actually much, much, much more interested on changing us towards the things that are outside, changing the inside stuff so we respond differently? And we often tell God in prayer that we want him to do these things. But what about just praying, God, pour yourself out and change whatever you see fit, equip, empower, work through us? You know, what if we started praying not that the problems go away, but that he changes us to the problems? What if we started trusting that the greatest gift that God can give Alberta during a pandemic is himself? What if we actually believed that? I'm going to challenge you to pray this week for nothing for yourself. Continue to pray for others. I'm going to challenge you this week to pray, as far as you pray for yourself, only that God would pour himself out and change whatever it is he wants to change. Do whatever it is that he wants to do. What if you simply ask God for nothing else but himself this week? If you are up for that challenge, send me a text or shoot me an email, and we'll pray for each other about this. We are going to be dwelling on this text a little bit longer. So we're going to return to it next week, maybe even the week after that, because that's the Pentecost Sunday. We'll see. But we are going to spend a little bit more time on this text, and we should be spending time during the week asking that God would bring this text to life in us. Let's pray. Lord, as an example, I will simply ask this morning for nothing more or less than you having your way among us by pouring out your spirit on us. We are going to trust that you are what we need most. We are going to trust that you will help us get these barriers out of the way. We cannot remake ourselves into your image. We need you for that. So we are going to ask you to be powerfully present among us and do your work, not even just for our sake, but for the sake of the world in which you have placed us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise our great God by singing that song. I'll turn it over to Marco, who'll start the song for us.
Rejoice, he wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, see how great.
Well, thank you for being with us this morning. It's been good to worship together and interact together. It's been good to interact a little bit more than usual. And hopefully we'll be able to have our children's moment again next Sunday and get the kids more involved again. Let me give you a few announcements. This is the time of year when the Pregnancy Care Center normally sends baby bottles, and we collect change between Mother's Day and Father's Day to support the Pregnancy Care Center. And instead, what they're doing is a virtual fundraiser. And so we are going to send out more information about that and how you can access that and support the Pregnancy Care Center and the great work that they do in our city. We will send that out this week. Christina usually sends out a Tuesday email with some other things happening, so look for that there. In that, you will also see an invite for the Mustard Seed Stay at Home Scavenger Hunt. Scavenger hunts are becoming all the rage these days during isolation and physical distancing and all that. And the Mustard Seed is hosting one. And if you register, they will send you exactly what you'll be looking for and doing around your house and so on. It's a stay at home event, as I said. You won't be driving around the city for this. And as you register, you then go on, the money supports the Mustard Seed. And there are prizes you can win. It looks like it's going to be pretty cool and exciting. So we'll send you more information about that. But it's this coming weekend. I believe it takes place over the Saturday and Sunday, so 23rd, 24th. our council met this week, and we discussed the fact that there are new government restrictions in place for worship gatherings. And in light of the fact that the restrictions still say that you can't have kids' church, you can't sing together, you have to maintain physical distancing of 6 feet in every direction between those in your worship gathering, and that it has to be limited to 50 people, this is just not feasible for us. And we decided we are going to remain doing what we're doing, and as well keep the building closed to both inside and outside groups for the next month while we see how things unfold. And so we reevaluate each month, and that'll be one of the things we'll evaluate next month, is where things are at and go from there. But again, essentially, having a live worship service here would be a whole lot less effective than what we're currently doing, because we can't even do as much as what we're doing here. So we're going to continue with this for the foreseeable future. Council also decided that we are going to have an AGM online, and we're aiming to have that at the end of June. So we will get you more information closer to the time about that, but that'll be a Wednesday evening. We'll do that online together. And again, just like, although we never have 50 people come to attend our AGMs, we can still have more people involved and feel safer at the same time if we're doing it online. So that's what we're going to move towards, and we'll get more information to you about that soon. Ron Murdoch is now going to share a little bit of an update as well. So I will pass it over to Ron.
Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
I've been unmuted. Good, good. Yeah, just to pick up on two things from this morning and what Pastor Ben has shared with us just now, and that is we just wanted to let everyone know that we as a council in our meetings are really trying to process the implications of the unusual situation that we're in, the pandemic that we're in here. And yes, we did receive guidance for places of worship, and quite strongly worded that, things like infants and children should remain with parents and guardians. Nursery, children's church are not permitted. There's things in there about seniors and about those more vulnerable. We like to engage in risky behavior, according to this, namely singing. Congregational singing is a high-risk activity and is not allowed. We can't handshakes, sharing communion. So there's a number of things that it just seemed like we should sort of stay the course. For the time being, it's also been cleared. I'm sure that everyone has sort of given a collective sigh of relief that, oh, finally things are starting to relax and open up, and we can go get a haircut and a new tattoo and get in a round of golf, and everything will be back to normal. But I think the more careful we listen to both what's going, the kind of discussion that's going on within the general culture, that the workplace is probably going to change. It's probably going to be a good while before travel gets back to anything resembling normal. We may be quite a while before we see any significant recovery in oil prices. So I think we're going to be looking at a different world when we come out of this, and that I think we're encouraged that there are Christian leaders who are giving some very careful thought to this, and Ben has been coming across some of this and sharing it with council, and we're delving into some of that. And but I think there's some encouraging things here. Just in what we're doing at the present moment. And that is, I think we are learning things about ourselves. We are finding ways of connecting. We are discovering that while we can't sort of do worship in the normal way, we are perhaps as a community and a body of believers learning some new things about worship. We are finding ways of connecting. And I think it's really encouraging that things like the book club have really, I understand, blossoming and flourishing during this time and as a point of outreach to friends around. I know that the IN team is coming up with some very creative ideas for us to help encourage us in growth as a community and as a body of believers. I think if we view this time as a time where perhaps what's happening for us right now as a congregation is that we're putting in place some new building blocks that will help us to be a church that is adapted to a new world and a new reality. In the last little while, I've been particularly encouraged by reading the book of Ephesians. And the first chapters of the book talk about transformation and being changed and what it means to be changed in Christ. Then in chapter 4, it shifts over to how that change plays out to it. And Ephesians has a very contemporary ring to it. It's about change and choice, things that we work with every day. And I find it a very encouraging letter, and I would kind of invite us all to go back and just give that book a quick read, because I think we'd find it very helpful. In terms of what it says on how we should be doing things, it is very neutral, but it lays out sort of some high principles there. And at our council meeting, we were reminded by one of our council members what our mission statement was, and I just want to share it here. To love God, love our neighbors, love one another, every day, everywhere, everyone. And it doesn't say specifics, but I think that that is an encompassing and well-founded sort of mandate of who we are to be and what we're to be about. Just this morning, I heard a couple of things that I thought were interesting. One is that the stage we're in right now, we call, they're thinking of it in terms of the third quarter blues kind of thing. That how sports teams react during the third quarter of a game. And apparently, teams of astronauts kind of behave the same way. Submariners, and there's all kinds of things about how people react during that sort of third quarter, where performance might start to lag a bit, where frustrations build, and all kinds of things start to go on inside of us. And it was, I think, an insightful observation of that's kind of where we, as a world around us, is at and where we may personally be at. But I think as we sort of move forward on this, that as we come through this, that I see some encouraging signs here, and that we want to engage with the congregation. I think, as Kevin shared here a couple of Sundays ago, we invite comments again this morning, and that we take what we're learning now and use that to build upon. And read, if there's one part of Ephesians to go and read, it would be Paul's prayer for the church. We often use part of it as a benediction, but it's a wonderful and uplifting passage of Scripture. So you won't be hearing from counsel on a daily basis like you do from Dina Hinshaw and others who get in front of the cameras every day. But rest assured that as a council, we are really trying to work through this in a way that will be building for the congregation. And we look for your input and insight as well. Thanks. The other thing, okay, Ben?
I was just going to, it sounded like you were about to sign off, and I was going to remind you about the Hope Mission thing as well. But
right. Yes. Yes.
I've got the picture ready.
Okay. I know that, yes. I know we've been praying and it took many long time for a building permit to come through. Hope Mission got their hazmat permit and their demolition permit. And as I think, as you can see, demolition happened. And they're underway. And I think this was just yes, I see that hand clapping. Yes, let's give a round of applause here. Thumbs up. And praise God that this is, it's a busy site, and that just pray for the safety and the well-being of the Hope Mission team and safety on this construction site as this moves forward, as Hope Mission, I know, is close to our hearts. And you can see in the background there, Roger's Place. So there's a real contrast of Hope Mission being planted in the middle of the downtown here that has as their mission to be caring for the vulnerable and the homeless. And this will probably be about an 18-month project. Bruce and I do plan on staying in touch, and we hope to have further update on how this will be impacting maybe even our move forward over the next couple of years. And hope to have an update for our annual general on that.
Okay. Thanks, Ron. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and for giving more of a council update and for reminding us of what's happening at Hope Mission. I'm meeting with the Hope Mission director here in town. We're meeting over Zoom this coming week, and I'm going to be hearing more about what they're doing, and then we'll be sharing an update with you as well about what Hope's been doing, because they have been doing some great things around the city this week, but stay tuned for that. Now, we are going to go to those who want to stay. Are welcome to join our next meeting, which is just a social time to see one another and linger after the service a little bit. The reason we can't stay on this call, I forgot to explain that before. We can't stay on this call because actually Marco gives us a great deal of his time every week in order to facilitate this. And we are very, very grateful for it. I especially am. And so once we wrap up our service here, Marco then begins the editing process. So he gets this thing going at 9:30, and he's at this well after we have signed off every Sunday. And it's not fair to ask Marco to have to host the next social time for even longer. So we found an easier way to get everyone who would like to join that on the next call. Christina has included the link in the chat feature right now. So if you pull up the button that says chat, you should see a link to our next Zoom meeting. And if you would like to join us and say hello, then please feel free to mosey on over to that one. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends. It's been great seeing you and interacting with you this morning. Thanks for worshiping together.